Hey there, this is Jesse Scardina, news writer for Search Content Management, Search CRM, and Search Salesforce. You're tuning in to the fourth episode of the Pipeline Podcast. I'm sitting here with my executive editor, Don Fluckinger.
Hey Jesse, how you doing?
Not too bad. It's a casual day here at Tech Target. I'm in my Tommy Bahama shirt with little islands on it. Don's repping the classic hip-hop group Run DMC with a nice... Looks like a nice 80s era shirt too. That's not new vintage. That's from 1984.
Yeah, I definitely got it at a thrift store used somewhere. I'm surprised it's a white t-shirt, but you know, when I wear that, when I drag this thing out and I haven't shaved for 4 days, that pretty much represents how I'm feeling, right? Kind of feel like Grizzly Adams after my latest trip, but it was a good one.
I was going to say, you still recovering from Toronto? Don just went to the OpenText Enterprise World Conference in, like I said, in Toronto, Canada, last week. Overall, Don, what were your kind of initial thoughts on the trip?
Well, I really enjoyed Toronto, actually. It's a great place, cosmopolitan city, but ran into a little bit of trouble with the airline there. As anybody who's flown to Toronto knows, you have two choices, well, at least from Boston and many cities in Canada, as well as sort of the East Coast of the United States, and the one choice is Lester Pearson Airport, which is, you know, 20 miles outside the city, Uber rides, sometimes there's traffic, and then you have this wonderful alternative, which is Billy Bishop Toronto City Airport, right? And it's right there on the waterfront. It's right within walking distance of the convention center where OpenText had this user conference that was attended by 4,500 customers and probably 1,000 more from OpenText, as well as sort of partner vendors, because they're based in Waterloo, Ontario. So they have a Canadian edition of this show every few years. So this was the time that the OpenText employees, so many of them I talked to, commuted in from suburbs of Toronto, hanging out. Came in early for the free breakfast, but also to avoid the traffic. So the flight was fine. And there's a Porter Air is the main airline that services Billy Bishop and has great direct flights from Boston. So I thought I'd book one of these. You know, it's the turboprop and I have issues flying, but I decided to steel my nerves and take it. And the flight was actually great. And I landed in Toronto and I walked across the quay, this underground tunnel, and there I was, boom, right outside of Rogers Center. It was so great, walking distance of my hotel. But then coming back, airline delays and things held me up. I waited at that airport for 9 hours to go back to Boston, and eventually our flight was canceled, and I was bumped off. It wasn't weather that delayed our flight. It was... the crew refused to fly. They couldn't get out of Boston. Logan had grounded flights. And so the plane to take us back to Boston couldn't leave Boston. So by the time they got there, it was 15 minutes before the airport closed. A lot of people on that flight, there were 65 who were on the canceled flight. A lot of them were very angry about the crew situation, but I kind of can see their point because, you know, Jesse, if you called me up at 10:45 at night and said, Don, you need to write this story now.
I wouldn't be happy about that.
Yeah, I might be saying, you know, screw you, Jesse.
Right? See you at 10:45 in the morning.
Yeah. I can kind of see that. But the CRM, the customer relationship management of the whole situation, I thought was unsatisfactory. So
sounds like they might have needed a little more AI in there. Customer relationship management, which brings us to one of the big talking points, it seemed like, at OpenText's conference, which also seems like a talking point at basically every conference nowadays in the tech world, and that's AI. And OpenText didn't waste any time unveiling their AI offering, Magellan, which you were at the keynote, you heard it firsthand, you talked to OpenText executives, you talked to analysts, you talked to customers, you wrote a great story about it on Search Content Management. What was your overall take from Magellan?
Yeah, and the cool part too is another piece of coverage coming up that hasn't yet gone live, but will soon, perhaps today even, we hope, on National Hot Dog Day, by the way. Did you know it's National Hot Dog
Day? I did not.
It is.
I'll celebrate later, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. We'll be crushing ballpark franks like there's no tomorrow, because there is no tomorrow. Tomorrow is not National Hot Dog Day. But anyway, I sat down with the lead, the technical lead for Magellan, and recorded a podcast. Of course, OpenText is very excited about it, and they're offering it and will be offering, so some of it's not quite available now, but they will be in the very near future. Magellan is AI that can crawl an enterprise's data lake, content data lake, through several different methods. As you can imagine, OpenText has many customers who still host their content management on-site, not in the cloud, and they have very secure networks and regulated industries. So it will be offered as a virtual appliance in the cloud, you know, and an actual hardware appliance. And then it will also be eventually offered as a sort of a group of services that customers can sort of, you know, tap OpenText for and run it on in various different places. And I asked the technical lead, you know, this hardware appliance, does anybody actually use those? I mean, this is very 1986. Yeah. You know, when we think of hardware appliances, we think of, you know, data security, firewall type things, not really for AI. But he said, yes, some customers need that. And in fact, because they're building it on sort of a open source Hadoop and Apache Spark sort of foundation technology, you know, it makes sense to sort of build a box with all this stuff, with the containers and then the AI appliance crawling it on top of that. And they really are going after Watson, the CEO of OpenText, as well as other folks I talked to, really hammered that point. We're going after Watson. It costs 1/6 of Watson, and we can do all these different things better than Watson. We can be cheaper than Watson, and of course, it's integrated with your OpenText system. But
did analysts see that same perspective, that this could be a shot across the bow at Watson, or is that kind of maybe talking up a weight class or two, or being just very optimistic about their technology?
Well, interestingly, all of us sort of talked about how the use cases that OpenText demonstrated were very much like the CRM vendors that you and I see live demos of all the time. SAP, Salesforce, Pegasystems, all these CRM vendors are talking about things like using AI for service. Like if you're in an industrial vertical industry, you would want to know when your customers, when a part is going to wear off.
Sure.
In a very expensive machine, and have an AI sort of sense,
yep,
when a piece is going to go bad before it shuts down a line and send a replacement, yeah, other things.
A little more proactive.
Right. And also, you know, lead scoring, yeah, finding sales and things like this. And
so those use cases are, like you said, that's in the sales marketing realm. OpenText being more content management based, document management, archiving. Where does AI have a place in content management in that sense? You mentioned kind of the combing through the data lakes that OpenText hopes Magellan does for its customers. Where are some of the use cases for content management specific?
Well, they'll be announcing more of those soon, but the point they made to me was, which made sense, was that OpenText customers can use Magellan to crawl their entire enterprise data lake, right? As opposed to a CRM system is a subset.
Sure.
So they can sort of take all the silos and come up with more original insights on what,
okay,
content people are using. And so there were, you know, content marketing demos too, sort of more personalization, one-to-one, reaching out to customers and sort of understanding the totality of your enterprise content, as opposed to just the thing the marketing team might have, or just the thing the sales team might have, or just the content the service team has built in the CRM system. You get a lot more access to original data, not necessarily copies that have been floated from one to the other. And it also can, in theory, if it works as they say, you know, do more, work with more unstructured data in deeper ways than the competitors would. But it really did, with the use cases, it really looked like they were going more after Watson, you know, Leonardo, and all these, I'm not going to say lesser competitors, but more purpose-built competitors for that the CRM vendors and BPM vendors like Pegasystems, and OpenText does play in the BPM space, so it looks like they're going more after them than Watson, even though they said Watson, Watson, Watson.
Were analysts and OpenText customers that were there that you spoke with, were they bullish on the news that was coming out and the possibilities that Magellan offered the customers and offered the analysts?
The one analyst, a Gartner gentleman I talked to from Europe, was very, you know, when I asked him the specific question, and he was very wait and see about it. His perspective was, you know, we see this coming out of every vendor. A vendor that doesn't have an AI package named after some
famous historian,
ancient mariner,
historical figure,
scientist, right? If you don't come out with an AI package, you are behind. So the AI is not a differentiator, it's table stakes. And he said, really, what I want to see is use cases. I want to see customers using it for actual business drivers and making, you know, cost efficiencies and proving them, because if you don't see that, it's just another brand. And I'm not saying he was down on OpenText. He was just very...
maybe a more realistic approach towards it.
Well, just wait and see.
Yeah.
You know, let's not buy into the hype until there's something to buy into. Mm-hmm. And I found that very reasonable. He was not saying Magellan's bad, but he's just wondering how useful the tool will be once you remove the marketing messages around it, around the introduction. But it does, I see potential.
And the usefulness of AI tools is also something else you wrote about in at Enterprise World. And you kind of dug into kind of another level of AI and kind of a subset of it with the algorithms and the upkeep and maintenance that needs to be done if a company or a business is trying to implement AI software. I've written about this too, and it's a topic that fascinates me, because it seems like AI, more so than other business applications, requires a lot of in-house work to get the most out of it even before a company adopts it. Is that something that you saw and heard a lot about at OpenText?
Right, it's funny. Algorithms as a thing became sort of a living character at this show and during my experiences flying with Porter Air. The thing, I actually wrote a story about my Porter Air experience, and I didn't want to go all Ann Coulter on everybody. And for those not familiar with the story, Ann Coulter ran into some difficulties, she felt, with
Delta.
Yeah, and you know, she's a frequent flyer, and then she started tweeting, you know, do you know who I am? And started, you know, making personal insults toward the other passengers, that she got moved around a plane out of her preferred seating to a lesser seat, and then she decided to disparage the other passengers, and she really, I don't know, I didn't want to do that.
You want to separate yourself from Ann Coulter? It's probably...
well, also, I don't want to be that person, right? Yeah. But the thing that really set me off and sort of made me want to pick this thing apart was when my flight was canceled, Porter Air customer service people on site blamed the algorithm, you know, for who got, why did I get bumped? Oh, the algorithm. You know, who's going to stay? Who's going to go? The algorithm would decide. And you know what? Algorithms are not people. Mm-hmm. And I think it's shoddy CRM to blame an algorithm for things a human should take responsibility for. And ultimately, I was very unhappy with that. But not being Ann Coulter, I decided to talk with people about, you know, how algorithms can be sort of anthropomorphized and sort of treated like employees, when really there are data scientists tuning those algorithms up and making them behave, mm-hmm. there's a human at the other end. And the story you're talking about, I asked a lot of people at the OpenTech show, you know, AI returns results and insights only as well as the algorithms who train them. And there are data scientists.
Well, these algorithms are built exactly by humans, by data scientists, and that's where the human element of them come into play. They can get better, they can learn, they can refine themselves over time, but you will still have those Porter Air instances and those times where the algorithm just doesn't do what you want it to do.
Right. So the first article I wrote, I went around asking some customers and some of the Magellan team at OpenText, you know, do vendors oversell the ease of implementation of AI, because really they're only as good as the algorithms that are driving them, and your algorithms are only as good as the tuning, and it's a constant maintenance of them, and it needs to be done by data scientists, not just you and I could not tune the algorithm for, you know, how TechTarget feeds our content. We are not data scientists. We just pretend to be them on the internet, right?
Exactly. Well, the interesting thing with the need for data scientists, especially now with AI software becoming more and more prominent, you do have some companies who are touting their AI applications and their AI tools saying that you don't need a data scientist. I know Salesforce's big pitch with Einstein is it's AI for everyone. We're democratizing AI. You hear all these buzzwords and slogans that say that this is something a normal person can do. But I think we've seen that the market and the technology just isn't quite there yet. It's not something everyone can do. There still needs some specialty and some people in your organization that know what they're doing when it comes to AI and building out these algorithms.
So algorithms became sort of like another moving chess piece of my coverage here. And I don't know, I think we're going to be talking about that a lot more as we move on, because the algorithms are what are sort of controlling the business results for your CRM, for your BPM, for your content management. I mean, these things are right in the middle of our chessboard.
It's the brain. They're the brains behind a lot of the tools that these businesses use. And when you factor in AI and machine learning in there, the algorithms gain so much more importance. But that probably does it for us today. We've run a little bit long, but it was the last conference we'll have until I believe September. So both Don and I are going to be kind of landlocked here in Newton for the next couple months. But we'll be back with some more episodes to talk about some stories that we're working on, stories that went published. Again, search content management for the OpenText stories. Also look out for searchcrm.com and searchsalesforce.com for all the upcoming stories from Don, myself, and all of our great contributors.
Thanks a lot, Jesse, for manning the tiller today on the podcast. And I just really wanted to say I did love Toronto. Despite my experiences, I thought Toronto is just a great city. I love that place. I want to go back tomorrow.
Once I renew my passport, I'll be stealing that OpenText trip from you next year.
We'll arm wrestle for it, bud. Thanks.
Deal.